You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. The Rockets got it done as expected on Sunday afternoon against the Phoenix Suns with a 113-102 win. The Rockets now improved to 35-13 on the season. That ties the 93-94 championship team for the best start through 48 games in franchise history. You have to hope it didn't come at a cost. The Rockets were led by James Harden, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 assists from a good game. I'm kidding, mostly. But you hope it didn't come at a cost. Trevor Ariza left in the first minute with a hamstring injury. He'll be reevaluated tomorrow. And Chris Paul departed early, although the Rockets did not confirm it was an injury. Apparently, he did not feel quite right, but according to Chris, he'll be ready. Seemed to be alluding to Tuesday's game. That's the next one for the Rockets at home against Orlando. We'll have to wait and see at practice tomorrow whether Chris is a full participant. We'll talk about all those themes throughout the show, our usual post-game recap. Again, Rockets 113-102 winners on Sunday afternoon. And it was a game in which I would start by saying it was not aesthetically pleasing. There were 45 combined free throw attempts in the first half alone. There were 75 free throw attempts between the two teams on the game. And it wasn't as if this was a typical game in which the Rockets were uber aggressive and got fouls going to the rim. No, it was a game in which there was rarely any flow to it. It seemed like that the officials decided before the game that they were going to put a heavy emphasis on any sort of hand check fouls. But there was a lot of even inconsistency within the game itself, where certain quarters, like in quarter one, the Suns had no free throws. Then in the second quarter, they had 11 free throw attempts by the 8-minute mark. And were in the bonus, obviously, at that point in time. So a lot of inconsistency within the game itself. There were the usual things going on with the James Harden continuation drama, the fact that he's not getting the call to the extent that he normally does. But fortunately, the Rockets were able to grind out the win, and now we await for further word on the hamstring with Trevor Ariza. Happened in the first minute of the game, appropriately after they missed what should have been a continuation call for James Harden. Then right after that, Ariza attacked the rim, got fouled, ended up injuring his hamstring, did not return. And then Chris Paul, who, as we said, exited early, but it seems like that was kind of maintenance for Chris. He had kind of planned this, according to both Chris and Mike. They had discussed it, and the Rockets had a large lead at the time. Suns didn't really make it close to the end, although they did cut it to 7, I believe, with under a couple of minutes left. So it wasn't a blowout, but the game was never really in doubt either, and they said Chris went in there to get maintenance. They didn't say what it was, but folks, over the course of 82 games, everybody has minor muscle strains, back spasms, whatever it may be. I'm not going to speculate, but Chris said after the game that he was fine, and at this point, I'm going to take him at his word for that, that the Rockets are probably just being extra cautious, as they should be, with a 32-year-old, as opposed to someone like James Harden, who's 28. There's a different standard for Chris Paul, and until I have a reason to be paranoid and worry about some sort of a re-aggravation or some sort of significant injury, I'm going to take them at face value at this time, that they're just being extra cautious, as they should be, with someone who's 32 years old, and you're trying to manage throughout the 82-game grind. As far as this show, we'll certainly touch on all the leading themes. As far as the thing that stands out most, statistically, James was very good. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 8 of 21 from the field. What I really liked seeing from James, he looked more explosive. The 10 rebounds. This was a game, the two teams rebounding-wise, Phoenix and Houston, were exactly tied at 43. And that's because the Suns, while not being an especially good team, they do have a lot of athletes on that front line, led by Tyson Chandler. There are a lot of big bodies, athletes that they can throw out there at you. And so for the Rockets to kind of hold their own, they needed contributions from the backcourt. And even Chris Paul, who's usually able to get a lot of rebounds, he only had 2 in this game. Perhaps he was a little limited by whatever he said after the game, did not feel, or D'Antoni said after the game, that Chris didn't feel quite right. So whatever the reason, the Suns' big front line, Chris's limitations, James was able to step up. He had his 27 points, which is nice. Got to the line 12 times, but also the 8 rebounds. That tells you that he is feeling a lot better in terms of being spry. There was one sequence in, I believe, late in the third quarter that he got a rebound and a putback all in one. It's kind of that quick twitch movement that doesn't happen when you have someone laboring with a hamstring injury. So to see James go out there and not just be the scorer, because we've talked about it over the past week, starting with that Miami game, he's been much more aggressive, looking for his shot. He had the Dallas game, which he was just lethal from the field. And he's been more aggressive over the past week, which is, again, the starting sign, in my opinion, that a guy is feeling better. And now you combine that with the rebounding totals today. He remained active defensively against Devin Booker, who did have 31 points, but was a minus 12 in his 41 minutes. Really had to work his butt off to get those 31 points. So James, to me, first and foremost, you want to make sure that a guy coming off a grade 2 hamstring strain is healthy, and this game, to me, was more evidence of that. And I also thought him being willing to contribute defensively as much as he did, how active he was on the glass, it helped the Rockets kind of snap out of that malaise, because for whatever reason, again, the officiating made the game very, very choppy. There was no flow to it in the first half. Also, it was a 2:30 game in the afternoon. There have not been many games like that to this point in the NBA season. You'll see a few more down the stretch as ABC starts doing its Sunday afternoon packages. And then, of course, there are daytime games in the playoffs for TV. But to this point in the year, there have not been many daytime starts. And the point is, the Rockets could have used excuses. They could have said, well, we're lethargic. But the Rockets just kept grinding, actually pushed the lead out to 18 points at one point. And I thought that James Harden, their leading player, being willing to continue contributing defensively, get 10 rebounds on the glass, I believe his first double-digit rebounding game in quite some time. I know he hadn't had a triple-double, which he almost got. Clint Capela missed a couple of easier shots to the rim in the fourth quarter. That's the only reason why he didn't get that triple-double. But I know James, so you used to talk about Chris Paul after putting up 38 and 8 the other night. I know James has not had a triple-double since the November 9th game against Cleveland, and he might have had one or two double-digit rebounding games since, but it's been a while. So to see him contribute, that's what you want to see from a veteran team that, if it's not going in, the Rockets did not shoot especially well from three, below 30%, and it was a game in which, again, they had a lot of excuses, the officiating, daytime game, not a sexy opponent, where you could have seen the Rockets against the 17-33 Suns team kind of rest on their laurels, and led by James Harden, they didn't do that. I don't think it was a banner game for James or anyone, but I thought it was a good game from the standpoint of the Rockets' culture. And actually, in the locker room, I kind of liked what I heard, because to a man, none of the Rockets was satisfied. Now, yes, they ended up winning by double digits, and again, it wasn't even as close as the final score. They were up by 17-18, and late in the game, the rally did not really mean much from the standpoint of what the Suns did after Chris Paul went out, and that was after Trevor Ariza was already about. But no one from the Rockets was satisfied. They talked about needing more energy. Gerald Green said the guys went there after the game and said that that can't happen against Orlando on Tuesday. And to me, that's the signs of a good team. Good teams don't necessarily play the opponent. They play themselves. If you're a longtime listener to me here at Locked In Rockets, you probably heard me say that before. And I thought you could see that with the Rockets today, because they got the win, and there wasn't that much stress to it, except for the injuries, which hopefully are minor. We'll have to see tomorrow in the case of Trevor Ariza, and hopefully Chris Paul. We'll see if he's a participant at practice. But there wasn't a lot of stress. They won by double digits, and it would have been easy to just kind of brush it off, saying, well, the officiating was choppy, that it was a daytime game, whatever. No, to a man, the players in the locker room, Mike D'Antoni, they weren't satisfied with the energy. They wanted to get better. And it wasn't like it was an embarrassing performance. The Suns had 102 points, and of the 102 points, a hell of a lot of them, let's look, 22 came at the free throw line, and a lot of them you could easily argue were not especially deserved with how tightly the game was officiated. So 102 points, 22 at the line, not exactly like it's a terrible defensive showing against a Suns team led by Devin Booker that does have some shooters. But the Rockets, they want to control what they can control. And even if the officiating is bad, even if the start is not to their liking, even if there are certain variables that don't go their way, what you heard the locker room after this game to a man was that they wanted to control what they wanted to control. They wanted to come out. They were not satisfied that this was a single-digit game at the half. And to me, that's what good teams do. That's what veteran-laden teams should do. That leadership is there to where you're not trying just to get a win and be satisfied, because there are some teams, the Rockets 35-13, we mentioned 5 out of 6 since the return of James Harden, now tied for the best start in franchise history through 48 games. The Rockets are going to be more talented than 95% of the teams they play. You can really say it just about anybody other than the Warriors. So it's not just about the opponent. Sometimes you need to play yourselves. And for whatever reason, if you're not controlling what you can control, if you're not up there to your standard in terms of the crispness of the offense, I thought it was, again, not a terrible game from a turnover perspective. Harden had 6. The team had 12 as a whole, just 17 assists. I would say the ball movement wasn't quite as good as you would expect. The rebounding was okay to a draw. Just seemed like there wasn't quite the usual pep to the step. And thankfully, the Rockets, well, they were able to grind out the win. But then after the game, they did not want to talk about winning the game, even though they did. They wanted to talk about coming out with more energy, more focus, so that hopefully the Suns are not within a team like them, which I would say the Magic, also another losing team coming to Toyota Center on Tuesday, are not like that. So, or that the game is not like that. So I would say in general, I was pleased with what I heard after it. Yes, James Harden played well. He's continuing to get healthy. Yes, the Rockets got the win, but it wasn't a blowout win. It wasn't pretty, and thus the Rockets aren't satisfied. And again, that's what good teams do. They're not just playing the opponent. They're playing their own standard. And this was a game in which, yes, it happens over the course of 82 games. You're going to have some kind of lethargic Sunday afternoon games against a bad Phoenix Suns team in which maybe the energy isn't all the way there. Maybe some weird officiating with how touchy and inconsistent it was kind of zaps the game of any flow and takes the feel out of the arena. But great teams don't make excuses. They look for ways to play through it. And that's what I thought the Rockets did on Sunday afternoon in getting that win. Now, I want to lead off with some thoughts about James Harden, but I don't want to forget about the rest of the team. Certainly, James, with 27, 10, and 8, was your leading difference maker, was a plus 16 in the plus-minus. But, folks, he was tied with Clint Capella, who ended up with 10 points and 11 rebounds, including several big ones down the stretch. It wasn't a banner game for Clint against Tyson Chandler, who had 11 and 15 and seemed like he was in peak form. Boy, in a dream scenario, that would be a buyout candidate, although I don't really foresee the Suns doing that, unfortunately. But Clint, late in the game, the Rockets really struggled to get offense, just 21 points in the fourth quarter, and that was after Chris Paul went out, and they were really struggling to kind of keep possessions alive, and that's exactly what Clint did, getting those second-chance energy baskets or rebounds that set up potential baskets, set up fouls, those types of things. We saw an energetic Clint Capella late in the game when it mattered, and that's part of the evolution because certainly he did not have a banner game. You look up in the fourth quarter, at one point I believe he was at 6-6, but he kept playing. That's what he needs to do, is not mentally check out if something is not going his way on a given night, which I would say even last postseason, you look at Game 3 and Game 4 in Oklahoma City, and he was 22 years old at the time. This is what happens with young players. But I do think there was some checking out that happened at that point, saying, well, this isn't made for me, and then leaning on Nene to clean it up. In this game, Clint continued to play through, even against Tyson Chandler, who, again, was playing extremely well. And thankfully, Clint was able to get better, finish well, another double-double, 10 points, 11 boards, 3 of 5 from the field. But the real story, the supporting cast was a lot better. I believe it was Ali Vajani who noted that the supporting cast, meaning Ryan Anderson, Luke Bamute, PJ Tucker, Nene, and Ryan Anderson, I believe they were 6 of 21 on Friday. Well, folks, across the board, Luke Bamute was 4 of 7, including 2 made threes. He had 13 points in his 32 minutes, and had a plus 14 and plus minus, which was tied with James and Clint, or just behind James and Clint, I should say, for the lead in the plus minus. Trevor Ariza did not attempt a shot in his 36 seconds, but he did make his 2 free throws. Ryan Anderson, 3 of 8, but he did make 2 threes, did have 9 points in the fourth quarter. Those were big because the Rockets, without Chris, were looking for some offense. He had a stretch there, and even 2 made threes that were essential in doing that. Nene had 4 of 5 off the bench with 8 points. Gerald Green, 2 of 6, but he made 2 threes, and that's big. Gerald Green giving you 18 minutes, because when you don't have Trevor Ariza, you need someone to step up and fill those minutes. And that's what Gerald was able to do, is pretty impressive. A guy that has not played meaningful minutes in a couple of weeks that's able to suddenly step in and play 18 quality minutes, was active defensively. Also, to the culture point earlier that we spoke of, what I loved hearing from Gerald in the locker room, he said that there were 2 technical fouls, I believe, on Greg Monroe that Chris Paul instructed Gerald Green to take. and he made both of those. And the reason for that was that because Joel hasn't played in a couple of weeks, really hasn't been in the rotation. I think he did get some spot garbage time minutes in one game, but he basically hasn't played since 2 weeks ago, that Clippers game in the altercation, got suspended for two games. Then with Harden, Bamute back, the Rockets were suddenly nine deep again, and it was tough to get him minutes. But Chris Paul instructed Joel to take the two technical free throws, and Joel made them both. And the rationale for it, because Joel's a shooter, he hadn't played in a couple of weeks, Chris thought it would be beneficial for him to see the ball go through the net. And it did, and it was beneficial. I believe he hit another three after that. So that's a little thing, again, that winning veteran teams do, and so that builds on the earlier point. But Gerald, in general, I wouldn't say, you can't really compare him to Friday because he wasn't in there, but that's another member of your supporting cast that threw in two shots, both behind the arc and those two free throws. That's what you didn't get on Friday when you had Eric Gordon with 27 on 10 of 15 shooting, when you had Chris Paul with 38, when you had James Harden with 23 and 11, but you had guys like Luke Bamute and PJ Tucker and Ryan Anderson who seemingly could not throw it in the ocean. Today, you had the support from the supporting cast. Also, Nene, don't forget his, as we said, 8 points on 4 of 5 shooting. And so you just had better contributions across the board. And so even though you didn't necessarily have an efficient a game from your big guns, for example, Eric was just 3 of 9, had 13 points. James Harden had 27, but he was 8 of 21, 3 of 11 from behind the arc. Chris Paul, perhaps limited by whatever reason he did not feel right, had 17 points, 5 assists, 4 of 8 shooting. Certainly not a bad game, but nowhere near the 38 and 8 he had on Friday night. In general, the supporting cast picked up the Rockets, and that's what you want to see, because ultimately, Chris, James, and even to a lesser extent, Eric, they're going to be there. You can count on those guys, and even Clint Capella, who's been playing, I wouldn't say standout star games, certainly has been a difference maker, I would say. Again, a double-double against Tyson Chandler tonight in 25 minutes is nothing to sneeze at. But it's the supporting cast, seeing them start to make some shots. And even in the game where the Rockets overall did not shoot that well from the field, 44%, below 30% from three, again, to have the supporting cast chip in ways that they did not on Friday. Again, I know it's not a great opponent, but it's about building habits. And so that's what we heard, you know, in terms of the sluggishness, the Rockets wanted to improve that. But in addition to that, these are good games, Phoenix, Orlando, to have some of your role players get into a rhythm. Because when you get in a game like what happened Friday night against New Orleans, especially with the early deficit and fighting back, sometimes, especially if role players start off not really making their shots, then a lot of times they can be tentative to even take those shots down the stretch of a game, because there's so much pressure and you don't want to waste a possession not letting Chris, James, or Eric, one of your big guns, shoot the ball. In this case, the bench, there weren't as many high leverage minutes, and so hopefully for a lot of those guys, it was a get-right game from a just an execution standpoint. And with any luck, Orlando, also not a good team in wins and losses, will be another opportunity for that on Tuesday night. For the final segment of the show, and we touched on this earlier, let's discuss the injuries. The more significant one, and I asked Mike D'Antoni post-game about Trevor and Chris, since each exited early, just to confirm, is Trevor's injury more concerning? And he said yes, in his medical opinion, and then he laughed. But certainly, it sounds like with Chris, whatever's going on is pretty minor. It's a maintenance thing. And because the Rockets had a lead close to 20 points early in the fourth quarter, he exited with about 10:30 to go. Part of taking Chris out was just maintenance. Again, it's a 32-year-old. It's the type of game in which if you can limit his minutes to 27, which they did tonight, you'll happily take that. And whatever nicks there are for his 32-year-old body over an 82-game grind, then, you know, you'd be smart. And the Rockets, again, even though they didn't have him, it got a little hairy, but never seriously threatened again. It was never as close as two possessions in the fourth quarter. But Mike confirmed after the game that the Trevor injury was more concerning. Really, they wouldn't even address it as an injury with Chris, and he said he's ready, so until proven otherwise, my guess is that Chris is going to be in the lineup on Tuesday night. I would be shocked if Trevor is, and that's because it's a muscular injury. When it's a hamstring, even if it's a grade one, it's a muscular injury. You better believe that it can be re-aggravated. I think in an ideal world, maybe you'd have him back. If it's a grade one, maybe you can think about having him back this weekend to give you another body to throw in there at LeBron James. That's the Saturday night ABC primetime game. But it could be a grade two, and even if it's a grade one, given the depth they have at that position, they do have Gerald Green now, you may see them be a little more cautious with this, even if it's a, I wouldn't say, well, if Ariza ends up having a grade one, that he'll come back in half the time that Harden did with a grade two, because A, the Harden recovery was just pretty ridiculous. That almost never happens. And B, Trevor is a much older player, 32 years old, just like Chris Paul. And so I would say you're probably going to see the same thing with Trevor happen the same way. They're cautious with any injury to Chris. And it helps that you have extra depth in the form of Gerald Green, who had 8 points in 18 minutes tonight, that you can throw into some of those minutes. And there's sort of a trickle-down effect because, yes, you did have Gerald kind of knocking some of the rust off, 8 points in 18 minutes. But if Trevor misses a few games, and I think that's the highly likely scenario, the trickle-down effect, we mentioned after Saturday's game about Ryan Anderson's low lights, and Ryan, in particular, New Orleans was a brutal matchup with AD and Boogie for Ryan because there was no one for him to reasonably defend. You need more from him, because we mentioned that if Ryan doesn't play better, then in theory, Gerald could kind of be your security blanket, and that you could slide Luke and Trevor to play some more small ball 4 minutes, and then because of that, you can slide in Gerald at the three spot if Ryan is not hitting. Well, now that Trevor's out, you're probably going to need Gerald to fill some of the minutes of Trevor at the three spot, and unless Gerald is playing incredibly well and shooting the way he did, like in those Warriors and Magic games earlier this month, to where you feel comfortable throwing him out there for 35 minutes, I don't think you just want to turn the four spot over to just Luke Bamute and PJ Tucker. That's not really reasonable. With Trevor out, you need Ryan Anderson a little bit more, and the good news, he did step up. Again, not a banner game, 13 points, six free throw attempts, which speaks to how active he was, just 2 rebounds, did make 2 threes as well. So again, between the 6 free throw attempts and the 2 made threes, those are small things, but positive in terms of Ryan was feeling better. He was attacking. It's just the third game in January that he was in double figures scoring. But for Ryan, when you're looking at a guy who entered with a prolonged slump, shooting 36% from the field and 28% from three over his last 24 games, it's unlikely that you're just going to flip the switch immediately and become confident. What you want to see are baby steps. And so seeing him make a couple of threes, seeing the ball go through the net, we mentioned that with Gerald not playing for a while, for Ryan to see 2 threes go in the fourth quarter, to see him comfortable enough off the dribble to attack, get to the line 6 times, made 5 of those. Those are promising signs that at least he can be playable. I'm not sitting here saying that Ryan has dug himself out. Certainly not after 24 bad games. I'm not going to say that one game against a Phoenix team that is not known for especially good defense, it proves that Ryan Anderson is where he should be. But what you're hoping for in the absence of Trevor Ariza, he at least needs to be playable, because Gerald Green cannot just be your hedge against Ryan Anderson. You're going to need Gerald Green to fill some of those Trevor Ariza minutes. So if he's going to do that, you have less insurance for Ryan, which inherently means Ryan needs to step up. You're not going to be able to not play him very much for the next couple of weeks if that's what Trevor ends up missing. So to that extent, I think it was good that Gerald got to get in the game today and he saw a couple of threes go down, but also the trickle-down effect leads to less insurance for Ryan Anderson. So I thought it was also very good to see Ryan Anderson get a couple of threes to go down, both in the fourth quarter, also got to the line. It's a little thing. There's still a long way to go. But with Ryan, I think you'll take any progress that you can get. And we did see that. And so I think that helps with the Ariza injury. Now, we don't know the exact diagnosis of what happened with Trevor other than that's a hamstring. It's hard to really compare it to the James Harden situation, because the Harden, when he had his hamstring injury and we saw him limping severely in the locker room after the game, it happened right before the end of the game. So Harden was still there. He was walking around. He was nice enough to still do his media obligations, that sort of thing. With Trevor, because he injured it in the first minute of the game, we did not see him in the locker room at all. When we were in the locker room, that's over 2.5 hours later. I'm sure they already had him go home, start resting. They'll evaluate him tomorrow, probably with an MRI, to get a better feel for what happened. If you want some hope that it could be a grade one and not a grade two, there were a couple of things. First, the Rockets did not immediately declare him out. They said questionable to return. With James Harden, they immediately declared him out within minutes. That speaks to a little confidence. But more than that, when it happened, Trevor actually tried to stay in. Now, The injury to Trevor happened in the first minute of the game. There should have been a continuation call right before that. I'm going to keep pounding that because it was just ridiculous. The NBA missed it. But Trevor went in. There was contact on the drive. His leg kind of crumpled, hit the ground, kind of jammed his leg in an awkward spot. And if he thought he was severely out, he would not have taken the free throws. The reason he took the free throws was because he wanted to stay eligible so that he could remain in the game. If he was too injured, he would not have taken the free throws. He stayed in, took the free throws, amazingly made them both as well. But he did that because he wanted to preserve his game eligibility, which he did not shoot those free throws, he would have been out. So that tells you immediately that Trevor did not necessarily think that this was a game-ending injury. And he actually jogged back. Initially, the cameras caught him, I believe, mouthing to teammates that he was fine. He jogged back defensively. Now, again, ultimately, he did end up having to take a foul. I think he realized, trying to jog back down the floor, that might have been a little more significant than he originally believed. But at the same time, those are two little signs. A veteran like Trevor, now, yes, he's tough, but they typically know their bodies well. So what had happened to James, his immediate reaction, he said, "I knew I couldn't run." With Trevor, he stayed in to shoot the free throws. He jogged back to the other end of the court defensively. Now, I think he realized that ultimately he couldn't gut his way through it, and he played it smart. And kudos to him. Again, he took himself out in the Rockets. With Trevor being 32, they're going to manage him a little more tightly than they would, say, a younger player. It's going to be like Chris Paul, where they're going to be cautious. But I would just say, from what limited signs we saw, and I didn't see him after the game, and I don't think that's cause for alarm. Again, I think if James Harden's injury had happened in the first minute of that game, he would not have been in the locker room after the game either. It just so happened that the Harden injury happened at a later point. So I think not seeing Trevor in the locker room after the game was more coincidental. But in terms of what happened in the game immediately after those two injuries, it did not look to me like Trevor's injury felt as severe as the grade 2 to Harden. So if you want a silver lining, there are no guarantees. But if I had to bet, I would guess that maybe it's a little less severe than what happened to Harden. But again, there's no way to know until you get the MRI. The Rockets will do that tomorrow. I would anticipate tomorrow afternoon we'll get a result the same way we did late on New Year's Day with what happened to Harden. And then just to refresh with what happened with Chris Paul, we don't exactly know the nature of the injury. Just according to Mike D'Antoni, he didn't feel quite right. They pulled him with 10:30 left in the game. The Rockets were leading by almost 20 points. According to Chris Paul, after the game, the score had a lot to do with that. Some of the Rockets thought they could win the game anyway, and so they were just managing minutes as best they could. And again, I am not overly concerned about that one. When Chris Paul says, "I'm good, I'll be ready," he's walking down a limp in the locker room. I tend to take it at face value, which this is a 32-year-old who is going to have a lot of injuries. And when I say a lot of injuries, I just mean bumps and bruises over the course of an 82-game grind. No different than LeBron James, any other player of that age, and you just have to monitor. And so if you're playing a team like Phoenix that's not especially good and you have a comfortable lead, you're going to be a little bit more cautious. So based on what I saw after the game, in terms of just how Chris was walking around, how he characterized it, the comments from Mike D'Antoni, I'm not anticipating Chris to miss any time. I think if anything, it makes sense because in the absence of James Harden, Chris has had to carry a tremendous load for much of the past month. And even after James has come back, it's not like he's quite been all the way back from a physical standpoint. And, you know, we saw Friday to get the Rockets almost all the way back in New Orleans, lost by 2 points, 38 points from Chris. It's been an enormous workload. Thankfully, he's there. It's good to see that Chris has that extra gear in the for future use. It's one of those things, you can get that version of Chris Paul in the playoffs, then that's tremendous, obviously. But for now, I don't see any real reason for concern. Now, we'll see if he's a part of practice tomorrow. If he's not, then maybe, you know, you start to worry then. But for now, I take it at face value. I think it's a 32-year-old who they're just being cautious with. And when he says he's fine, when he says he's good to go, they are. The Rockets, it's not like they downplayed it after what happened early in the year, for example, with the adductor strain or the knee bruise. You could tell after the game in the comments from Mike D'Antoni what little we heard from Chris Paul after the Golden State game in the season opener, after the Laker game when the adductor strain issue happened. There was not a very good feel as far as his availability for at least the next game. Now, maybe they didn't know the exact nature of how many weeks or games he's going to miss. And to be fair, I don't think the team ever knows that. You're kind of constantly monitoring that on a day-in, day-out basis, how the player responds to treatment. But I would say leaving those games, I did not think after the opener and I did not think after the Lakers game that Chris Paul was going to play the next two games based on what we heard from Chris and based on what we heard from Mike D'Antoni. What we heard from Chris and Mike D'Antoni today, I do not have that feeling at all. After hearing from both of them, I fully expect Chris to be out there Tuesday, and unless there's some prognosis to change that over the next 24 hours, again, we'll see what happens at practice on Monday, I would not be overly concerned about that. I think that's just sort of the Rockets being cautious. I think the real issue to worry about is the Trevor Ariza situation, and again, we'll have more clarity on that when the MRI comes back on Monday and the Rockets give us an update on whether it's a grade 1, grade 2, the same way they did with Harden the day after what happened against the Lakers on New Year's Eve. So with that, I will wrap up today's show. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. If you want to follow me on a more regular, real-time basis, the best place to do that is Twitter. I'm at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. Also, if you're not already subscribing to our various social platforms, please do that. Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. You mentioned the Twitter handle, at Locked On Rockets. Also, LockedOnRockets.com. That's our website. Lots of places you can find us. Also, regularly subscribe to us. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone. Just subscribe to us, leave us 5-star reviews. That's how we look most attractive to advertisers and remain financially viable, to remain being the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. And that's also how you can get our episodes right when they come out. So be it, again, Twitter, Facebook, the Locked On Rockets website, keep up with the regular news coverage, and subscribing to our website. Those are the best ways that you can find out what I'm doing and what the Rockets are doing on a regular basis. And it's also the best way you can support this show and help us remain viable as we are. Also, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Certainly Twitter, Facebook, those are some ways to do it, but also email lockedinrockets@gmail.com. Questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan community. Once again, the happy final from Toyota Center on Sunday afternoon. Rockets 113, Suns 112. Rockets improved to 35-13 on the year. By far, the second best record in the Western Conference, tied for the best start in franchise history through their first 48 games. Suns follow 17-33. Rockets back in action Tuesday evening, home against the Orlando Magic. And that's also at Toyota Center. Hopefully I'll see a bunch of you guys then. So for now, folks, enjoy the rest of your weekend and the start to your week tomorrow. And we'll be talking again Tuesday when the Rockets get ready to take on the Orlando Magic, as we said, also at home against the Magic, but at the friendly confines of Toyota Center. Hopefully I'll see a few of you guys then. For now, folks, have a good evening, and we'll be talking again soon right here on Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets.